The scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from the book of James, 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. James 5, 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Have you ever thought to yourself, is God really listening to me? Does God really hear my prayers, and is he hearing what I'm saying to him when I pray? Does he even care about me? When I'm praying, am I just talking to the walls or talking to the ceiling? Does he hear me? Do we wonder, is it really working, the prayers that I'm offering? Or am I just fooling myself? There are doubts that we have. And how do we get past our doubts? Well, we must know that there is power in prayer. We must know that God is powerful enough to hear our prayer, and he's also powerful enough to answer our prayer. God is able. And why do I know that there is power in prayer? Because there's power in our God. We can know for sure that there is power in God, and there's power in prayer, and God hears our prayers through the scriptures. We can know through the scriptures that God does these things. But doubts are real. Too many times we doubt the power of prayer, and we have doubts in our life. The devil will use these things against us and make our faith decrease instead of increase. But we need to know that there is power in God. We need to know the love of God. And we need to know the power of prayer to God. When we look at the power of God, we can see through Scripture over and over again, and especially in the Old Testament, we started at the first chapter. We see the power of God in creation. We see how he spoke things into existence, and when he said it, it happened. There's power in the word of God, him speaking these words. There is power in the flood. You think about the flood that happened, and it flooded the whole earth, and only 8 souls were saved. Because God had power to destroy the earth and cleanse it. There's power in the plagues of Israel, the plagues of Pharaoh, that happened in Egypt, that accompanied Moses when he was ordered to tell Pharaoh to let his people go and to let them be free. And God had power. And he showed, in fact, the plagues are a representation of the gods of the Egyptians. And God showed his power in each of them. and how he was so powerful that he, through these plagues, that he destroyed a powerful nation, left them scattered abroad, left them with barely anything. There is power in our God. And we can look throughout the Old Testament, and there's many, many examples of the power of God. But in the New Testament, it's also revealed the power of God. When we think of Jesus and we think of the virgin birth, there is power in that. There's when we think of these, the virgin birth, it can only be done through the power of God. The world has never seen anything like that. Then we think of Jesus and the power of his healing. How he can heal even the blind. And the blind man was healed, and nothing like that has ever been done before. But he was able to heal the blind man. He was able to heal and resurrect Lazarus from the dead, or to heal the ones that were sick, and he was able to do that. He was powerful. Jesus had the ability to do this. And we see that, and it's through the power of God. And we see the power that Jesus had, that he could heal those who had leprosy, and those that there was a disease that plagued the earth, and he could heal the strongest disease. Because God is powerful. We see Jesus, he fed thousands upon thousands with very, very little food. Then we think of the resurrection of Jesus and the power that is that Jesus died, and people at that time maybe thought that it was all over, that this Jesus was dead, and that he was not, his teachings would be done. They got rid of him. Then there's power in the resurrection of Jesus. He was dead, and he became back to life. He resurrected from the dead. All these signs are signs of the power of God. When we look at our scripture reading tonight, and we saw that we see about prayer. In this section of scripture, we need to understand some things before we go through the scriptures. We need to understand that this scripture in James chapter 5 is not referring to the miraculous. These are not the miracles that are going on. When we pray for a loved one to recover, it is a sign that God has heard and answered our prayers, but is not miraculous. There is still recovery time. The health is not stated to be restored instantaneously. And then when we think of elders, and we think that they had miraculous gifts during this time, but at the same time, it's not a requirement to be an elder to have miraculous gifts of healing. In fact, not even all Christians had miraculous gifts of healing. Very few did. And nowhere in the list of qualifications for an elder is that a requirement that they had the gift of healing. In fact, having miraculous gifts was not required at all. And we look in the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7 or Titus 1:5 through 9, and it's not a requirement. We need to notice the context of this verse. to claim that there were miracles involved in this section of Scripture is simply unfounded. We need to notice the context. Does it take a miracle for a prayer to ease suffering? Does it take a miracle for a prayer for a song to be spread cheerfully? When we look at verse 13, is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. We look at this, there's nothing to do about the miraculous. It's not miraculous that sins are to be are forgiven when we repent. To attribute this to the miraculous is missing the point. What James is trying to get to here, that is, there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer to God. That it can heal the sick. That it can help those who are struggling to ease their suffering. There's power in prayer. And how can we know that there's power in prayer? Well, if we look at verse 17 and 18 in James chapter 5, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is scripture in context shows that the power of prayer. And we think about that, and we think about the power of prayer, and we think of Elijah's prayer, that he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't happen. And then he prayed again. I assume 3.5 years later, and it rained. When we think about that, and we realize that there was power in prayer. When we think about the power of God and that He is able to hear our prayers, He is able to answer them. And the reason that He hears our prayers and that He can answer them is because He loves us. God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And how can we know that? Well, the simple answer is Jesus. We can know that because of Jesus, that He sent His Son. But Scripture, throughout Scripture, it shows that there is power in prayer and that God loves us. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. 2 Kings, chapter 6, 5 through 7. But as one was cutting down a tree, an iron axe head fell in the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it is borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. We think of the power of God, and you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with the power of God and the power of prayer? Well, I heard about a man who was teaching this in class to his teenage Bible class. And as he was teaching this, and they went over this section of Scripture, and they're going over it and didn't think too much of it other than that was a pretty cool thing that they made the iron float, and it came up, and they were able to grab it. Later on that night, this young man who was thought about this all day, and he thought about what Jesus has done on the cross, and he called the teacher and said, I want to be baptized. And the teacher said, well, okay, well, let's go to the church building. And he came to the church building, and they were talking, and he said, what made you come up with this decision to do this? And he goes, we were talking about this and that in 2 Kings. And he said that I was thinking about this axe head that was in the water, and God cared enough for that axe head to allow the man of God to bring it up and make it float so that he could grab that. And he said, and I've been praying to God that he would help me in my life. I have so many struggles. I am so, I'm going through a lot. And he actually considered suicide. In fact, that he was so upset with all the things that were going on in his life that he didn't think anybody cared about him and anybody loved him. But then he thought about God doing this. And he thought about the love of God. And he thought, if he cared enough for this man that lost his axe head and got that for him, he could care enough for me to help me through my struggles and to help me to get through life. And that he would care for me because God loved him. When we think about God and his love, and we think about how we are made in the image of God, God made us special. He made us in his own image. And we can talk about what does that mean. And in some ways, I think it's simple that we have a spirit, we have intelligence, that we are in the like God, that he made us, our spirit, eternal. When we think about our physical children, those of your parents or grandparents have had physical children, and the love that you have for them, one of them is because they're in your image. They look like you. They may act like you. And we think of that love that we have for our children and know that God loves us because we're made in his image. When we think about that love that he created us, and then he sent his son to die, his only begotten son, he sent to die on the cross because of our sins. Not only did he create us, but he also gave us a Savior to save us from our sins. When we look at the power of God, and we look at the love of God that he cares for us, we look at the power of prayer. And my prayer to God, and your prayer to God, must start with faith. We need to believe that the one who is able and is powerful enough to hear our prayers is able to answer our requests. We need to have faith that when we pray to God, that he hears us and he is able to answer us. And he will answer you in your prayers. God answers prayer. I am here standing in front of you because God answered my prayers. When we think of what it takes to come to a preaching school, I had a successful job, and I don't say that for any glory. I'm just saying it to illustrate a point. I had a successful job. I was taking care of my family financially. And I wanted to become a preacher. I had a large obstacle to overcome to get it, to be able to become come here to the school? And it was many, many of prayers, praying to God, if this is what you want me to do, if this goes against your will, don't let it happen. But if it doesn't go against your will, and if it's your will that I become a student at the school of preaching, please help me and help me and help us financially, help us spiritually, mentally, to be able to do this, to move my family here. There's power in prayer. I think there was a point in time when in June of last year, I said to Andy, I don't think I'm going to be able to come. And he said, okay, why? And I said, well, I only have half my support. And he said to me, he started laughing. He said, that's great news. You have half your support raised and it's only June. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I have only, 2 months left and I have a lot of money to raise. But there's power in prayer and there's power in God that he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And sometimes when he answers our prayers, it's answers we want to hear. As we talked about in Bible class and we talked about parents and the kids make requests to their parents and the parents, the kids are happy when they're getting their way. When they're getting the, yes, we can buy that toy, or yes, we can do this, or yes, we can get ice cream. They're happy when we say yes. Just like God, we're happy with God when he answers our prayers, and he gives us the answer, yes. But what happens when we pray to God and he tells us no? Are we able to accept that answer? Are we able to hear the word no and be okay with that? I had a nephew who was in a really bad car accident. And he was really suffering. I prayed. Our families prayed, and we all prayed together. We prayed individually. We prayed over and over again, God, please heal him. He said no. And it hurt. And it hurt that he would not answer our prayers the way we wanted it. So we have a choice. If God hears our prayers and we don't get the answer we want, are we going to throw a fit and be like, God doesn't love me and God doesn't care for me and God is not real? No. God just didn't give you what you wanted. You see, there's power in prayer, but there's also, we got to understand that we and be able to accept his answers. Whether it's yes or whether it's no. Many times I've heard many examples of the power of prayer and it is just so wonderful. And it would be nice to just talk about this in a class, the power of prayer and what God has done to prove to you and to answer your prayers. There was a young boy, age 5, in a congregation, came down with leukemia. His condition became very critical, and his parents were told he may not last through the night. The entire congregation gathered at the building that night, and they prayed like they've never prayed before. The young boy recovered. In fact, his leukemia went into remission. When the preacher asked the doctors when the situation took place, the change took place, and it was about the time they began praying. There is power in prayer. There's power in our God who will answer our prayers if we would only take the time to pray to him and make our requests known. And when we go to God, just like Jesus went to God in his last hours, said, "Father, if it is your will, please remove this cup from me. Take this cross away from me that I'm going to suffer and die on." He knew that it was God's will that he do this. And he knew that there was power in prayer, and he knew that if this was God's will, he would do it. Hebrews 5 talks about how he suffered and died. And he learned obedience through that, through the things that he suffered. We too sometimes need to learn obedience through the things that we suffer. But we need to know that God hears our prayers. He is powerful enough to answer them, and he is able to answer them, and he does answer our prayers. We need to remember to take things to God. Take things to God in prayer, because he's powerful, he loves us, and there is power in prayer. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with things, if you're struggling going through life and you need the prayers of the church, we're here to help you. We're here to pray for you and with you. We're here to help you get past the struggles that you have. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, and you need to get your life right with God. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to confess that. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Whatever your need is, get your life right with God tonight. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.